Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so in this podcast, we take a deep dive into what it means to empower students with voice and choice. I will share some of the mistakes I've made, some stories, some strategies, and tools that you can use, all with the goal of helping students develop that voice and choice in their own learning. I want to say ahead of time, thank you so much to everybody who bought my latest book, Vintage Innovation. I was pleasantly surprised to see that it reached number one in its category on Amazon. It was the number one new release as well, and couldn't have asked for a better reception. So thank you so much if you went out and bought that book. I want to take a dive into this concept of empowering teachers to empower students. And to do that, I'm going to share a story from one of my favorite leaders. Now, I have this bobblehead on the bookshelves of my office. It's a bit of an Easter egg. If you ever watch my videos, you'll see that bobblehead in the background. And on the surface, this seems to be a bit arrogant and maybe even excessive. I mean, it's a bobblehead of myself. And yet I didn't buy the bobblehead. I didn't ask for it. I didn't even realize it was possible to create a custom bobblehead for everyday people like me. But this was a gift from my friend, Chad. See, Chad was our tech director. After my 7th year in the classroom, I chose to become an instructional coach. And by instructional coach, I mean I was helping teachers. I didn't like pull out a whistle and yell at people. I wasn't that kind of coach. But I was mostly, I mostly chose this to work on Chad's team. I had a high level of respect for Chad. I still do. When other leaders asked why, Chad would ask why not. He loved to experiment with new ideas and pilot new projects. Like when my friend Javi wanted to redesign the traditional summer school, Chad brought a team together to transform it into a STEAM camp for ELL students. When I wanted to create a blended professional development platform, Chad asked me for a proposal and then met with me to learn how to create it more from a place of empathy and in a way that teachers would actually use. Early the next year, when I moved back into the classroom, Chad came by with a bobblehead doll. And this is what he said to me. He said, if a guy who can hit a ball with a stick gets his own bobblehead doll, you deserve one too. Keep it in the classroom as a reminder that you're impacting lives even when it doesn't feel like it. Like a few other leaders I've had, Chad empowered teachers to empower students. He continues to do this as a principal rather than a tech director. Chad creates an environment of goofing off. And on the surface, this might seem frivolous. He might seem like he's not taking his job too seriously, right? But it is actually a part of a larger philosophy of reducing fear and encouraging innovation. Now, I'm not an expert on leadership. As a K-12 teacher and now at the university level, I've avoided formal leadership positions. I've never been, for example, an assistant principal. I never will be. But I do know this much about leadership. I know which qualities I look for in a leader. I'm a really good follower in the sense that I know when to follow and when not to follow. I know that the years when I have empowered my students the most were also the same years that I felt the most empowered as an educator. Empowered teachers empower students. And I mention this because there's no instruction manual for teaching. Often in working with pre-service teachers at the university, someone will ask about the right way to do something. The educational system throws around words like best practices and highly qualified, but it doesn't really work that way. There is no guidebook or instruction manual or how-to video on how to be a great teacher. And this is because it takes years to refine and improve your craft. That's just what it means to be a teacher. Now, the hard part is that it takes years to perfect. The process is often messy and confusing. There are so many moments where you, as a teacher, are going to doubt yourself. You get frustrated. You'll feel like the improvement is too slow. It's harder still when you screw up. I still cringe at some of the moments when I, you know, yelled at a class or I shamed a student. And I'm still amazed at how quickly those students forgave me when I apologized. And I love those moments when some of them who are now friends with me years later and they're adults and they send friend requests on Facebook and I realize that Chad was right. I deserved that bobblehead doll, not because I'm amazing, but because that's what all teachers do. But I also think this, all of those mistakes were a part of learning the craft. That is the beauty of it. There's no instruction manual. There's no codified list of best practices. That means that you get to explore like an astronaut. You get to experiment like a scientist. You get to design like an engineer. You get to make like an artist, like any other craft. Teaching takes a lifetime to perfect, and maybe you never perfect it at all. Because there's no point when you have arrived. As a creative teacher, you're always exploring. You're always experimenting. You're always innovating. I feel weird mentioning this now because I'm a professor and I'm not a K-12 teacher, but after teaching for a few straight days and jotting down notes of what went well and what didn't and what I need to improve, I'm struck by the fact that even in my fifth year at the university and after 12 years in the classroom beyond that, I'm still screwing up. I'm still growing. I'm still making mistakes. It still feels frustrating, but also it is so stinking fun. So there's that first reality, right? That teachers don't need instruction manuals because there is no instruction manual. But at the same time, we also need blueprints. When I taught social studies, I worked collaboratively with my friend Javier that I mentioned to design PBL units for our middle school students. I used to love experimenting with new ideas like Socratic circles or curation projects or digital journalism. But when I moved into a self-contained subject, so I was teaching all subjects to a group of about 30 students, I suddenly faced a new challenge that I never faced before. It was called scripted curriculum. And if you're not familiar with scripted curriculum, it's as bad as it sounds. Instead of just teaching the standards and designing things on your own, I was supposed to follow this step-by-step recipe for language arts and math. I was supposed to literally read a script like I'm some kind of robot. Now, this is the opposite of being empowered. Although I was an expert on the content, I knew it inside and out, and I had a solid understanding of pedagogy, although, again, we're always improving. I was reduced to an actor reading a script. Despite my knowledge of my students and their interests and their personalities and these ideas of things I was going to do with it, I had to follow the processes of a curriculum designer I didn't know and somebody who didn't know my classroom, all with the goal of helping kids pass the test and what I felt like was an artist being told that I had to paint by number. I don't want to paint by numbers. I actually geek out on curriculum, though. I want to be clear, I don't hate having box curriculum if the box is filled with something awesome. I love borrowing materials from multiple sources and mashing them up together. I love sharing ideas and learning new strategies. I even love recipes. It's just that I want to be able to take the recipe and modify it. I want to experiment with multiple recipes and see how that works. I want to be able to create a cool fusion dish with flavors from all over the place. In other words, I want to be a chef. As educators, we need blueprints rather than instruction manuals. We need ideas. We need to be able to geek out on things. We need materials, but we don't need recipes. See, instruction manuals fail because people are deeply human and messy. There's no average student. There's no same classroom. Every year you teach is a new year because you have a new group. Every student is different, and this is why formulas fail. There's just simply too many variables at work, and teaching is inherently relational, and that means it's always changing. That's why great teachers are always experimenting. But at the same time, again, there's nothing wrong with having blueprints. If you're geeking out over design thinking, You might enjoy the Stanford D School framework or the Launch framework that AJ Giuliani and I put together. Or if you're getting into project-based learning, you might want to use the PBL Works framework. See, these things are frameworks. They're blueprints. They are protocols that you can use, but you as the artist still get to decide what to do with it. So let's talk about this. All of this comes down to this idea that teachers are at the heart of innovation. When I first started working on my new book, Vintage Innovation, I asked members of my newsletter, just people who subscribe to my email list, to fill out a Google form. And the problem is I had too many. I had so many responses, I couldn't actually reach everybody. There were like 500 people who responded. Looking at it, there were over 1,000 submissions. So there's no way I could even interview everyone. I tried my best to coordinate the interviews, but it was simply too many stories. And each time I interviewed a teacher, they would say, "I'm not very innovative. This is just what I do." Or, "There's a lot of people who do this." And perhaps that's true. But the sheer number of teachers experimenting and taking creative risks doesn't make the act any less innovative. It just points out to this reality that teachers are at the heart of innovation. So again, if the first big truth is that there is no instruction manual, the second big truth is we still need blueprints, the third big truth is this, that teachers are innovators. Now, this is the core idea in Vintage Innovation. If you're a teacher, you're an innovator. You are the experimenter trying new strategies. You are the architect designing new learning opportunities. Apps change and gadgets break. Technology grows obsolete. But one thing remains. Teachers change the world. Every time you ask yourself, how do I innovate when I don't have the best technology? How can I use vintage tools, ideas, and approaches in new ways? How can I use constraints to spark creativity? How do I blend together the tried and true with the never tried? Every time you ask that, you are engaging in vintage innovation. And again, it's fueled by the teacher, not by the technology. Because it's really not about the technology. Vintage innovation redefines relevant as better and different rather than flashy and new. We've all seen those promises, right? Smart boards are going to change everything. Web quests are going to change everything. When I was a kid, it was these shiny discs, right? They were these big golden discs. Laser discs were going to change everything. The reality is none of those things changed everything, because the truth is the ones transforming learning always will be the teachers. It's about solving the latest problems by leveraging whatever technology works best. And in this sense, vintage innovation is all about that overlap between best practices and next practices. But that requires teachers to be innovators. If you think about it this way, if you follow best practices alone, you end up with stagnation. Nothing ever changes. If we go with next practices, we end up with novelty and an endless pursuit of the latest fads. But this overlap between the two recognizes the role of the classic and the vintage with new ideas. And so in this sense, it is taking your expertise. The longer you are teaching, you actually have the ability to be more innovative, right? I hate that myth that veteran teachers aren't innovative. It drives me crazy when I hear that. No, veteran teachers, they have this deep understanding of best practices and context in their students and the craft, but then they get to overlap that with the ability and the confidence to experiment and iterate and improve and design and make. And all of that together is vintage innovation. And all of that is essentially why teachers are innovative. So how do we empower teachers to be innovators? I don't have all the answers here, right? I'm just a professor. And before that, I was just a teacher. But I do think there are some things I've seen people do. So I want to share seven of these really quickly. Number one, you got to honor teacher expertise. This is why teachers need to be invited to give keynotes. Current classroom teachers, they need to be writing books. They need to be honored for the expertise that they have. I can't stand when I go to a roundtable on education and there will be a panel of people and not a single one of them is a current classroom teacher. No. We need to honor teacher expertise. Number two, find the blueprints and tools. It could be, again, a design thinking protocol, a PBL protocol. It could be some of the strategies for making thinking visible. But this is the idea that to empower teachers means to encourage them to be curators. Number three is to provide experiences for sharing ideas. One of the ways that teachers feel empowered is through the free exchange of ideas. And this could be an unconference like the Ed Camps. It could be something like a mastermind structure, which I wrote a blog post and did a podcast on that as well. You can find the link in the show notes here. But the idea is that we should provide exchanges of ideas between teachers. And this is something that I think leaders need to provide for their teachers. Number four, give teachers voice and choice in their own learning. This is the idea that we need to provide teachers with that opportunity as much as possible to own their PD. Number five is engage in action research. This is the idea that teachers are at the cutting edge. They're at the forefront for research, but it doesn't have to be super scholarly. It's action research. It's every time that they experiment and gather data and find out what works. Number six, you gotta honor teacher autonomy. Teachers should be not just members of committees. There should be shared leadership. They should have the opportunities to truly engage in the decision-making at the school. The favorite principals I've ever seen were the ones who ran things in a democratic way. Yes, they were still in charge, but they would never say, I'm the instructional leader. No, they would say, no, you all are instructional leaders. Let's figure out together what works best. Number seven is to give teachers the permission to fail. This is the idea that you are cultivating a community of creative risk-taking. This means that you de-emphasize standardized tests. This means that you tell teachers, it's okay if things don't work perfectly. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list, but again, if the big idea number one is that there's no instruction manual, and big idea two is that we need blueprints, big idea three is that teachers are at the heart of innovation, then that final piece is we've got to empower teachers to own the process as well. And that requires leaders to sometimes step aside and to step alongside and to provide those things that will allow teachers to thrive. Truly, it all begins with teacher ownership. I mean, right now, there are teachers all over the world who are meeting in small groups and they're doing book studies to refine their practice. Without prompting from a district or a principal, they are taking ownership of their learning. They own the learning. Go to Twitter for a given moment. Just look at the hashtags and watch teachers engaging in their own professional development. Meanwhile, teachers are making things from scratch. They're experimenting with new ideas. They're diving into the maker culture. They're building things from scratch. They own their learning. These teachers are reading books and blog posts, they're watching YouTube videos to get ideas, but they aren't treating this as an instruction manual. These things are their roadmaps. There's a key difference here. An instruction manual is about requiring, a roadmap is about inspiring. Instruction manuals demand compliance, but roadmaps inspire possibilities. And so my thought is this, we can't just have instruction manuals. What we need for teachers is for them to truly be empowered, and that when teachers are empowered, they can then empower students. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate it. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Stitcher or on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is that you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.